This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. As cases of COVID-19 continue to grow across the U.S., elections are being postponed in some states, while others are urging their residents to vote by absentee ballot to avoid spreading the disease. But with large events being shut down and door-to-door canvassing potentially hazardous, ballot initiative organizers in a lot of states are having to completely shut down their campaigns. Our James Dawson reports. James is actually joining us now on the line from his house to talk more about this. James, we had a little bit of a technical glitch, so did not get to air the story here on Idaho Matters. So can you just kind of briefly give us a synopsis of what you found out in that report?
Yeah, absolutely, Gemma. So, I mean, the big takeaway is that when you think of these ballot initiative campaigns, you think of door knockers, right? Like people going door to door asking you, hey, can you please sign this petition? This is what it will do. And if we get enough of them, then it would be on the upcoming ballot. And there are 24 states in Washington, D.C. where this is allowed, including Idaho. If you are a recent transplant to Idaho, maybe you came from a state without ballot initiatives, but this is something that is allowed here. And since it's really not safe to go door to door right now or go and hold these big events, which have been, I guess, banned by the governor's order here in Idaho and a whole lot of other states. There aren't really that many opportunities for people to go out and get these signatures that they need to get on the ballot. In Idaho this year, we had three campaigns, and they would have had to get about 55,000 signatures, plus a lot of those signatures would have had to come from different places across the state.
And Jimmy, what were the three initiative proposals for Idaho?
Sure. Yeah, so you had Reclaim Idaho is probably the best known campaign organizer here. They were the ones who successfully got the Medicaid expansion initiative petition on the ballot in 2018. That did pass, and they came back with a new campaign. I guess it was last year when they officially started, but that would have raised taxes on the wealthy and corporations in Idaho to kind of boost education funding. Then you had another campaign that would have raised the minimum wage to $12 an hour over a period of time. And the third one would have legalized medical marijuana in Idaho.
So outside of the Reclaim Idaho initiative, what is the status then of those two other campaigns?
Right. So the minimum wage one, those folks officially did suspend their campaign. I got a press release from them, but I still have never heard back from the medical marijuana folks. I can't imagine that they're still trying to push on, considering all of the hurdles that they would have to jump through before their deadline of May 1st to get all of those signatures over to the Secretary of State's office. And then those would have had to been validated.
So Reclaim Idaho said that they had asked state officials to cut some kind of break when it came to getting signatures. So what happened with that?
Yeah, I mean, they seemingly tried to reach out to everyone. They talked to the Secretary of State's office, which oversees, generally, Idaho has kind of a decentralized elections situation where they're generally run by counties, but Secretary of State has some kind of oversight over it. Secretary of State said that they don't have the ability to do anything regarding these ballot initiative problems. The Reclaim Idaho asked Governor Brad Little to use his emergency powers to allow for online signature gathering, which they said they didn't have the power to unilaterally do. And then Reclaim Idaho also apparently drafted a bill, which the legislature declined to take up in that last week or so before they eventually adjourned. And that's not really a surprise considering how little lawmakers at the Capitol tend to agree with Reclaim Idaho's goals.
So how close did Reclaim Idaho get to getting those signatures on the ballot? I mean, do you honestly think that they could have gotten there even if this pandemic had not happened?
I mean, they had more than half of the roughly 55,000 total signatures that they needed. But again, in Idaho, you also have to get those signatures from across the state. You have to what the technical term is, you have to qualify and get a certain threshold of signatures across the legislative districts here in Idaho. We have 34 of them. You have to get a certain number in 18 of them. And they really only had about a month left to get more of those districts qualified. They didn't even have half of those areas qualified. So it's really hard to say whether they would have hit that mark. I mean, if you look back at their Medicaid expansion push, I think that they had more signatures and more districts qualified by this similar point in the campaign. You know, whether it's because their strategy differed this time, since the spring's biggest events were still yet to come. Maybe they thought, hey, we can make this up later in this last month and really do a big push at the end. Or whether it was just harder to get people to raise taxes on the wealthy and corporation, it's really unknown. Mm-hmm.
So you interviewed an expert, and he said that there's often tension between these kinds of campaigns and state lawmakers. So what exactly did he mean by that?
Yeah, I mean, this is especially true in Idaho, where the legislature has a history of making it harder to get an initiative on the ballot when they don't like what the citizens approve. This was true in the 90s, after nearly 60% of voters voted for an initiative that would have implemented term limits on elected officials. The legislature came back and said organizers now had to gather a certain number of signatures from different counties across the state. That was later ruled unconstitutional by the courts. And then after Medicaid expansion passed in 2018, you had the legislature try to ratchet up these kinds of district requirements, which would have been among the most restrictive, if not the most restrictive in the country. Those were eventually vetoed by the governor. And I guess in a more direct sense, you go back to the Luna laws almost a decade ago, and the voters of Idaho put those laws to a referendum and rejected all three of them.
So does he think that online signature gathering could actually become a thing? I mean, especially, you know, after this pandemic that we're going through.
Right. Definitely not immediately. And that even that's kind of murky. I mean, right now, no state allows for online signature gathering. When I've talked to people in the past about the possibility of this, I mean, they worry about security and whether or not they would be able to actually verify that people signing them are actually residents and voters in Idaho. But Josh Altick, the expert that I talked to from Ballotpedia, he did say that he thinks more states will likely expand no excuse absentee ballot voting. You know, growing up in Idaho, I didn't realize that this was a thing until I moved elsewhere to work. But in some other states, they only let people request an absentee ballot through the mail if they meet a very few limited set of circumstances. I mean, we're talking about, you know, being a permanent caregiver for a sick family member, if you are literally out of the state for business that day, you know, stuff like that. So Altick thinks that more states will adopt more vote by mail system in total, you know, things that we have in Oregon and Washington as well that could be possibilities coming up.
I want to shift, Jimmy, to another issue that you've been covering, and people were waiting to find out whether Governor Little would allow two controversial anti-transgender bills to become law. There was a deadline to veto those bills, and Governor Little made his decision. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, so the deadline was actually 6:33 p.m. tonight. We're recording, you know, about 12:30 on Tuesday afternoon, but he ended up signing them at some point yesterday. He never tipped his hand as to whether what he was going to do during the legislative session regarding this transgender athlete ban bill and banning transgender people from changing the sex on their birth certificates. Really, the only thing he said was that he, quote, wasn't a big discrimination guy. And that's something that LGBTQ advocates say is exactly what these bills are. They're discriminatory, is what they say. These laws won't go into effect immediately. They have to wait until July 1st. And the ACLU of Idaho already said they were going to see the governor in court.
Well, and Jimmy, speaking of that point, the Attorney General Lawrence Wasdin, but also the other, what, four living attorneys general of Idaho, all came out saying that these were unconstitutional. I mean, so the likelihood is that the state of Idaho will end up in court.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the ACLU has repeatedly not so veiled threatly, or they haven't issued really veiled threats. I mean, they said, hey, we are going to sue you. Lambda Legal, which was the group that sued in 2017 over the transgender birth certificate issue, and they won. I mean, they have also really made it clear that this is going to be something that they're going to focus on as well. So the attorney general, you mentioned those opinions. They say that, you know, at least the transgender birth certificate issue could go all the way to the Supreme Court. It's unlikely to win, and that it would cost taxpayers more than $1 million to defend that one alone. Then again, you also have the transgender athlete ban bill, which could also go pretty far up in appeals as well.
Before I let you go, one of the things that activists against this bill were talking about was this measure, if it goes into law, will make it much less attractive for businesses who are looking to come to Idaho. Have you heard from any business leaders since the governor signed this into law yesterday?
No, I haven't heard anything from the five companies that originally wrote the letters. Those were Micron, HP, Chobani, Clif Bar, and Idaho National Laboratory. Again, this only happened, you know, theoretically less than 24.
Ago, right?
Exactly. So, I mean, like they have plenty of time to respond if they choose to. But I can definitely tell you anecdotally when I've reported on these issues, sources I've talked to have this idea about Idaho. They think of potatoes. They either think we're in the Midwest or they think of the Aryan Nations. I mean, it's not a great reputation if you're trying to build a huge business here and you need a workforce of hundreds or thousands of people, which, you know, you need a whole lot of people to come in and staff that.
Yeah. Well, this is definitely not the last we will hear of this. Jimmy, thanks so much for your reporting and taking some time to talk with us today.
Thank you, Gemma.
We've been talking with Boise State Public Radio reporter James Dawson. This is Idaho Matters.